Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for the School of Ministry, Lord God, Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for our apostle, Lord God, and for the anointing that's on his life and the vision, Lord God, to change the lives of people with the word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world, that we are the home of covenant winners. We thank you right now, Lord God, that as we embark in this study, that you will lead us and guide us into all truths, Lord God. I thank you right now, Lord God, that the students will receive everything they need so that, Lord God, they will be refined, Lord God, meet for the master's use. And Father, as always, I rely and depend on the Holy Spirit, because without him, Lord, I would fall flat on my face. So I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to show up and show out this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. We're going to be taking somewhat of a turn. I know we've been talking about the spirit of honor, but Dr. Leroy Jr., when I first started teaching this class about 4 or 5 years ago, he gave me another little small book, and he wanted me to do some teaching on that book in correlation to the spirit of honor. And it's really, when I say correlation, it's really probably one of the greatest deterrents to the culture of honor. We're going to be looking at pride, the root of all dishonor. When people who walk in pride, we're going to see how pride affects you from not walking in honor. I'm going to begin by reading here. Once this spirit of pride gets upon a person, it wraps them into deception. It is hard for most people to break free of it, the grip of pride. It grips you like a large snake coiled around, and it chokes you spiritually until you can't hear properly, you can't see spiritually properly, because you're choked up with pride. And we're going to see how pride can rob you of walking in the spirit of honor. The biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride. It takes its root in what the author, the name of the book, it's a little small book. You don't have to get it. He told me I didn't even have to mention it, but the name of the book is called Overcoming Pride. And the author is, I can't even pronounce his name, I'll spell it. G-U-L-L-E-R-M-O, that's the first name. And the last name is Maldonado. M-A-L-D-O-N-A-D-O. And the name of that book is called Overcoming Pride. But this is what the author states. He says, the biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its root in what the author calls the spirit of Leviathan. Now, when I first read the book, I had no idea what Leviathan is. But it's actually mentioned in the Bible. In the book of Isaiah, in several books, in the book of Job. Matter of fact, let's go to, let me see where it's first mentioned at. Let's go to Job. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 41. Job 41. And let me spell Leviathan for you, because since you don't have it in your book or your notes. It's spelled L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N, the spirit of Leviathan. In Job chapter 41, verse 1, it says, canst thou cast out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which feathereth down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose and bore his jaw through with a stone? Here he's talking about Leviathan, of how to, can you capture it? Can you corral it? And then he goes on to say in verse 15, it says, his scales are his pride, shut up together as with a loose seal. In other words, his scales are so tightly woven together that he can't be penetrated. Verse 16, one is so near the other that no air can come between. Go down to verse 22. It says, His neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. Verse 24, his heart is firm as a stone, as hard as a piece of nethered millstone, which is something that's very hard, and his heart is almost impenetrable. And in verse 34 of the last two verses of that chapter, it says, upon the earth, there is none like he, upon the earth is not his like. In other words, nothing like him. He is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. And that's the spirit of Leviathan. And that's what we're going to be talking about for at least the next two classes. In the book of Isaiah 27 and 1, it says, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that corked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Now, a lot of this is symbolic, but it's talking about a serpent or a dragon or some fierce beast and is in the sea. The sea represents the sea of people or humanity. And there is this thing that grabs a hold of a person. I use the illustration of a snake, of a boa constrictor that grabs onto its prey and squeezes it tight. That's what pride does to people. It like I said, it causes you to the point where you can't hear, you can't see. When I say hear, I'm talking about hearing God and see spiritually, because it blinds you from your spiritual senses, because pride, and we're going to look at it, its origin comes from Lucifer. Because in the book of Genesis, when he wanted to overthrow God and how he was cast out of heaven, pride was the root of his downfall. And the spirit of Leviathan took its origin right there. When Lucifer, who was one of the most cherished angels, you know, he was right there beside God himself. But he said, I wanted to be like the Most High. And we're going to get into that. I don't want to jump the gun. Okay, let me give you a little bit more information about Leviathan. What is the spirit of Leviathan? God describes to Job a sea monster looking creature called Leviathan to reveal to Job that Job's problem is pride. There is a strong evil spirit named Leviathan. Leviathan is an evil demonic spirit, or the evil demonic spirit of pride. And all through Job chapter 41, I kind of gave you a preempt to that. It talks about that spirit. The Strong's Concordance gives the definition. Leviathan, a withered animal or serpent, a large sea monster. The context suggests some form of aquatic sea animal which dwells in the sea. In the scripture, the sea represents the nation of people. There is a dragon in the sea, and the sea is the people of the nations, and God is going to slay the dragon called Leviathan. The nations of the world are consumed by the dragon, or the sea monster-looking demon. This sea monster is known or as represented as the spirit of pride. The evil demonic spirit of pride manipulates and controls the masses of the world through the sin of pride. And we're going to get into that, like I said, in more detail. Okay. Another way of stating this is Leviathan looks down on all that is haughty. He is the king and ruler over all who are proud and having a proud look. Pride and Leviathan are literally synonymous. It's hard to separate the two. One of the things I've learned in my study of the Bible is we always want to walk in humility. The opposite of pride is humility. Pride has its foundations in I, me, myself. Pride is wrapped up in its own ability, and not, it doesn't yield. It doesn't submit. Pride is a killer, because it'll rob you from what God wants to do in your life. And it is completely and totally opposite to the spirit of honor. Let me move on. Many people fall prey to Satan's temptations and the traps into the sin of pride, which is most, in most cases, renders them incapable of getting back up again and hinders them from walking in honor, because the spirit of pride is so deeply rooted in the heart or the soul of man. Leviathan, like a serpent, twists himself around a person's heart or their soul, and it becomes callous and cold, causing them to walk in dishonor. Pride will keep you from getting back into your position and out of alignment with God, or what God has called you to do, and keep you outside the will of God. I've seen people who get, and you see, I'm going to give you some, the reason why a lot of people don't identify certain things as pride, because pride will disguise itself in a lot of different forms: strife, envy, jealousy, backbiting, bickering. You know, there's a lot of, in fact, I'm going to give you some, that's really my next topic here, some of the things that pride will disguise itself in. Pride will disguise itself in many forms. It can manifest itself behind the scenes that you don't even know that it's pride. Anger, arrogance, contention, disobedience, independence or independent spirit. Person with an independent spirit, they want to do things their way. They don't believe in going and walking in one accord, walking in unity. They have their own independent way, or self-centered way. Pride, a person who walks in pride, they're very egotistical, meaning they have a overinflated ego of themselves. And basically, going back to Lucifer, he had an overinflated ego of himself. Though he was the anointed cherubim, he wanted to be like God. And pride was the root cause of his fall, his downfall. And ever since then, he has tried to rob the church and humanity in the sea of pride. That's why all of the, I guess you call it, when we're talking about the sea monster in the sea, all of those are kind of just examples, or, you know, of how pride could manifest itself and just choke any, basically choke the life out of you spiritually. Let me give you some other examples of pride. I said independence or independent spirit, a lying spirit, witchcraft, perfectionism, a person who's overly, everything has to be 100% right all the time. Rebellion is a root of pride. Vanity, divination, rejection, bitterness, malice, envy, strife, hard-heartedness, all of that takes its root in pride. Overinflated ego, I talked about that. Jealousy, a person with an argumentative spirit, people who always walk in conflict, controversy, dispute, a hostility, just all of these. I like this one here. Somebody who always have a bone to pick with other people, you know, always looking for fault. All of those takes its root in pride. I've seen people who God was using and using mightily, and all of a sudden you see a prideful spirit rise up in them. That's why the Bible says to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time. The Bible talks about how pride goeth before the fall. People, one of the things I've learned, as God blesses you and promotes you and you begin to be used more of God, you have to walk more in humility, because it's so easy for the enemy to get you hooked up or allow pride to come in. And when that happens, your downfall is imminent if you don't correct it and take a hold of it and cast it down, because God will not use a prideful individual. God will not use a person who can't walk in obedience, can't walk in honor, but wants to do their own thing. God wants total submission as a steward towards him. He wants total obedience. He wants us to yield to him, to yield to his spirit. Pride won't do that. Pride won't want to go its own way. The opposite of pride is humility. Jesus was the ultimate example of godly humility. He always acknowledged and honored the Father. One of the things Jesus would always do, says, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. He always acknowledged his Father. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of times, even when I'm ministering, I'll acknowledge the apostle. I'll acknowledge God. I'll acknowledge, you know, Lord, my insufficiencies. Because in your insufficiencies, when you acknowledge, Lord, matter of fact, I'm going to give you a good example. When I first got the call from apostle to actually be an instructor in the school of ministry some 6 years ago or so, that first semester or two, I would leave after my class and be driving home feeling so inadequate. Lord, I don't feel like I can do this. You know, this is more than what I can do. But then the Lord says, you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in my strength. Just begin to rely on me, rely on my Holy Spirit. And so from that point on, I started always acknowledging the Holy Spirit, you know, because he's a helper. You know, we can't really do anything without him in Christ at all. You know, we can make good attempts, but until we acknowledge him and acknowledge his leadership, because Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come unto you. I'm going to bring you another comforter. And when you acknowledge him, basically that's Holy Spirit is like God being God inside minded. God is on the inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit, leading you and guiding you in the way that he wants you to go. And so when you acknowledge him, now he's able now to give you the direction you need. And see, all of that is a part of humility. And when you walk in that kind of humility, you can't help but honor God because you're doing exactly what he called you and told you to do. But pride will always want to do its own thing. Let me move on. And as I stated, Jesus was the ultimate example of someone who walked in humility. And the scriptures that I want to reference that, and I want to make sure you guys take good notes because, like I said, this won't be in a book, so you're going to have to rely on your notes. I'm going to try to give you good, precise definitions so that way you'll know exactly where we're going. The opposite of pride is humility. Jesus is the ultimate example of true godly humility. He always acknowledged and honored his Father. I only do what I see my Father do. And in Philippians, I think it's Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about being that Jesus was made of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and became like unto man. By making himself of no reputation, that means I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. I'm actually emptying myself. He said he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was like in the likeness of men. He says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. In other words, Jesus, being on the right hand of the throne of God, stepped down off of deity and became a man. He took his royal robe off. He took his crown off and all his acclimates, you know, rings on his finger, whatever. And he came down in his humanity to save humanity. That's humility. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if there be any other way that we can make this happen, let's look at it. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the ultimate, you know, humanity. You know, I'm doing this because I love you, and I know there's no other way. I have to go to the cross. And that's ultimate humility. All right, let's move on. Those who walk in humility will be exalted. The Bible says because of Jesus doing what he did, he was highly exalted and given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, because he made the ultimate sacrifice of humility. And you know, when you walk in humility, the Bible says that promotion will always come from the Lord. Pride, on the other hand, go before destruction. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goeth before destruction as a haughty spirit before the fall. The Message Bible on verse Proverbs 16 and 18 says, first pride, then crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Listen up. This is what the Message Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 18. First pride, in other words, and when pride comes, then crash. You know, you're going to crash. The bigger your ego, the harder you're going to fall. You know, and I've seen that in people's lives. Man, my time is moving. I've seen that in people's lives. You know, highly anointed people. But I've seen them allow pride to get the best of them. And one thing I said, Lord, I think that I always walk in total humility. Give you a definition here. Pride, this is a definition of pride. Pride is an unreasonable and unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self or having a sense of being better than others. Having excessive self-esteem. Considering oneself excessively dignified. One who depends on his own abilities and knowledge. A person who lives independently from God and others. I'm going to read that again. Pride is an unreasonable or really unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth. In other words, you're thinking more of yourself than what you need to. Self-worth or position, living for self, having a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem. You know, just it's one thing to have self-esteem, but when you're over the top with it, you just, you know, I call it not only is an overinflated ego, but your head starts to swell up. You know, you just got, you know, you think too much of yourself. Considering oneself excessively dignified, one who depends on his own abilities and knowledge, a person who lives independently from God and others. Pride will make you think that you're the man and I'm it, you know. It'll cause you to think you got some type of ultra ego. But this is what the Bible says. This is what Paul says in Romans 12 and 3. Paul says, we should not think of ourselves too highly. For I say through the grace given to you that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. One of the things one of the ministers here shared with me years ago, probably some 15, 16, 17 years ago, he said, Brother Greg, so you always want to stay small in your own eyes. You know, when people start to, you know, share and tell you how much of a blessing you are, you thank them, but you still stay small in your own eyes. Don't let it get to your head. Matter of fact, that's when you need to be more humble. And I like, you know, what Paul says. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace I don't take in vain. You know, anything that I am is because of Christ. You know, because of my own self, I recognize I can do nothing outside of Christ. But when you give him his due praise and his due honor, you see, when you honor God, God will honor you. You know, when you honor God, God will honor you. And let me move on because my time is moving fast. Okay, I'm going to give you a definition of arrogance. Arrogance is a feeling of impression of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or presumptuous claim. It is an attitude of being superior and scounding others because of their intellectual level or lack of aptitude or ability, or the color of their skin, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt a particular person above others. That's arrogance. I want to give you a definition of haughty, because all of these takes its root in pride. Haughty is having or showing an insulting attitude towards people, putting people down because you think that you are better, smarter, are more important than others. Those who are blankly and disdainfully pride-minded as a person who's haughty. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness all run together. God resists arrogant and prideful people. He rejects them because he detests the sin of arrogance. Pride, pride and arrogance are in essence the same in demonic nature, because people with these attitudes are denying and walking in disobedience, and they basically, how can I say this? They're walking in the spirit of dishonor. When you get to that point, you actually walk in the spirit of dishonor. Like I said earlier, to be used of God, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. Moses, as I stated this last week, I think it was, Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. But Moses was meek because he obeyed God. He did what God instructed him to do. Proverbs 21:4 says, "A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished." There are consequences when you walk in pride. You expose yourself. Matter of fact, Proverbs 26:2 says that the curse causeless shall not come. The reason why prideful people end up, the Bible says, pride go before the fall and people are brought low, is because what happens is you are now, you're walking out of a covering, you're walking out of God's protection, you're not acknowledging God, or even if you think you're acknowledging God, because of your actions, it's not lining up with your lifestyle. And because of that, the Bible says pride goeth before the fall and the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, you are allowing the calamity that's going to take place and happen in your life because of a prideful attitude. All through the Bible, men who started out serving God, and really in the second semester, we're going to get into it more, talk about Samuel and David. Talk about Uzziah and people who loved God and served God, but they let pride get in. They let arrogance get in, and it was for their demise. It destroyed them. No, pride will destroy you. And one of the things in this class I want to make sure of is that we know how to walk in honor, but at the same time we need to be very aware of walking in humility and not allowing pride to get the best of us. I remember coming up in the 70s, there was a group that had this song called "It's the Pride." You know, it's the pride that makes you do the things you do. Pride make you do things that you have no idea. Why did I say that? That's pride. That's just pride. That's all it is. All right, let me move on. I have a lot to cover and a little time to do it. All right. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. So pride, arrogance, and haughtiness is defined as the spirit of Leviathan. And I said that spelled L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. It is pride that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven. Proverbs 6:16-17 says, "The six things does the Lord hate. Seven is an abomination unto him. And the first one is a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands to shed innocent blood." In Job 40:12, it says, "Look on everyone that is proud and bring them low, and tear down the wicked in their place." In other words, pride goeth before the fall. Satan was lifted up with pride because of the spirit of Leviathan. Satan allowed the very thing that God hates, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness, to corrupt him. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28:17. I'm going to read a passage where it's talking about Satan and how his heart was lifted up. It says in Ezekiel 28:17, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." Or you can say because of your position, your talent, your gifting, or your ability. "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee there before kings, that they may behold thee. When you walk in pride, you block yourself from receiving wisdom from God because you have corrupted your wisdom. Pride will corrupt all your wisdom files. You know, when you think about a computer and a virus, when you get a virus on a computer, it could corrupt your hard drive. Well, your mind is really the most sophisticated computer that was ever built because God built it. We can store, I mean, I can remember things back when I was 3-4 years old. You know, I mean, it's all that is stored up in a memory file somewhere in my brain, you know. Well, what pride does, it'll corrupt good files in your life. You know, things that you might have, you know, stored there that was beneficial, pride will corrupt them because it'll cause you to go astray and cause you to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And by doing so, then come at the fall. Like I said, pride will corrupt all your wisdom files. Pride works like a virus, and it will corrupt everything in your life. Ezekiel 28:17, the Amplified Bible says, "Your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom, and for the sake of your splendor, I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that they might gaze at you." The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. So pride takes its origin right there in the Garden of Eden, where Lucifer, who was one of God's chosen angels, it says that the spirit of pride came into existence the minute Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. A prideful, arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Each time a person allows pride or arrogance to creep in, he reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan in heaven. So each time a person allows pride to come into their life, it's just a reminder to God, I had to deal with this in the garden, you know. But that's the very thing that Satan tries to use against people to keep them from serving God. A lot of times when people are corrected spiritually, or they may be set down, or they're given instructions that they don't want to do, that's when you can really determine if there's any pride on the inside. Because normally, as long as everything is going your way, not a problem. But all of a sudden, there's something wrong you the wrong way, or we're taking a about face and it's not something you want to do. And then all of a sudden now, you know, and that's whenever I get a scratching on the inside, you know, ooh, I don't know if I can. And that's when I said, no, you know, whatever my apostle says, whatever the direction of the ministry, whatever the direction of the mission, I'm going to align myself to it, because it's so easy to allow. Give you an example. If I was told tomorrow, shut it down. We're going to get another instructor. You know, we appreciate you, what you've done, you know, but we switching up. I can't let pride or arrogance or strife or anything get in my heart, because a lot of times it's little things like that. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And a lot of times people will allow, you know, a small thing to crop up. And by doing so, now it's corrupting their files, and everything that God was trying to do in their life is going to be halted because of that. The spirit of pride is completely opposite of the spirit of honor. Pride shows no respect to authority, and is selfish, and it is arrogant, believes in independence or in the individualism, believes in self-dependency. Whereas honor shows respect, submission, loyalty, honor walks in one accord and love towards others. Honor has its dependency in God and respect, submits to and walks in God's divine order of authority. A person operating in pride acts like they're submitting outwardly, but inwardly in their hearts, they're far from submission. So a person who's operating in pride, they may act like they're walking, you know, outwardly in one accord, but inwardly they're not submission. They're not walking in submission. I remember they had this one illustration where this little kid was being punished, and they told him to go stand up against the wall, and he did it. He said, I'm standing up, but in my heart I'm sitting down. In other words, I'm walking in disobedience. You know, yeah, you're making me do it, but I don't want to do it. And that's pride. You know, that's you know, I want to do my own thing. I want to do my own thing. All right. Got 4 minutes left, and I got a lot to cover. So I can see it's going to take at least two, maybe three classes to get all this out. All right. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that live it, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. So when you look at walking in submission, you've been crucified with Christ, but nevertheless you live. Yet it's not you, but it's Christ that's living through you. You know, that's an act of honor. That's what honor says. You know, Lord, whatever I am, whatever good that's on the inside of me is because of you. And I just want that to shine forth. When you, I shared that already. I'm not going to even go back to that. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly and wholeheartedly or acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority or divine order or a spiritual covering. I'm going to read that again. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly or wholeheartedly or acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority, divine order, or a spiritual covering. They operate a lot of times as a long ranger or as a renegade. You know, they want to be on their own, you know. They may recognize spiritual authority, but they won't submit to it. You know, they always have a hidden agenda. Most people who operate in pride. And it's so easy for someone operating in pride to get in strife, to get in an argumentative spirit, to want to do things their own way. Matter of fact, it even calls people who operate in pride stiff-necked. The neck speaks of the will. Stiff-necked people, stubbornness, are characteristics of the spirit of Leviathan. Sometimes strength is can be defined in the neck. You know, stiff neck. In other words, I'm not going to bend. I'm gonna stay focused on what I want to do. Strong will. You know, a lot of times little kids may have a strong will. You know, and they just tighten up. You know, that's that's why you use the rod of correction to drive it out. Because if you don't drive it out, it's going to remain and it's going to grow. You know, and that's so very important. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a restaurant getting some food, and this little boy, and you could tell that his parents wasn't taking the time to really train him right, because the person he was with was telling him to sit down and eat. I don't want to eat. It's too hot, you know, and they said, boy, shut up before I whip you. And then he do this. What? I mean, 3 years old, he's squaring off, and then he went sit down and just, and they said, come over here. He didn't move, you know, just a stiff neck, and I'm saying, you know, I said, that little boy hadn't had enough whippings, you know, but, you know, and that's why, you know, it's so very important to walk, you know. I mean, we've all been trained properly, but it's so very important for people to, you know, to recognize how important it is to walk in submission. I thank you. Walk in total humility, because if you don't, you might call me from Atlanta at this time of the night. Anyway, there's one other point I want to get across to you. The major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone whom they consider less knowledgeable or who has served less time in ministry than them. When I say spiritual leaders, I'm saying, you know, a lot of times you might be put under somebody who might be younger than you, have less time in ministry than you. And sometimes people find it hard to submit to somebody like that, because they say, you know, Why should I? But it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with spiritual authority and delegated authority. And people who walk in pride won't submit to, I mean, if pastors, one of the grandchildren, Jay, or came here and said, Apostle want to do such and such. Hey, yes, sir. You know, I'm going to submit. Because it's not about age, but it's about the position and the delegated authority, and we submit to that and not walk in pride, but walk in humility. Amen? Amen. All right. See you guys next week.